proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful you've taken time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. Today on Abounding Grace, we're looking at the great subject of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches this everywhere. We're looking at this through the lens of Exodus chapter 11, as the Lord announces there that he is coming personally in judgment. The Lord had been executing judgments all throughout the land of Egypt in the form of plagues. We saw that with the waters turned to blood. We saw the frogs, the lice, the boils, the hailstorm. All sorts of different plagues the Lord had unleashed in forms of judgment upon the world. But then at the very end, in the 10th plague, after Pharaoh hardens his heart for the last time, the Lord announces, "I'm coming, Pharaoh. Now I'm coming to strike with death." That is how it's going to go at the end of our world. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return on the clouds of heaven and will bring in and usher forward a final judgment. The question is what does the Lord expect of his people? How can we escape that final judgment? What will the Lord do for his elect? What is the program? It is such a glorious message that the Lord has for all those who believe in him. They will be spared from the angel of death. They will be covered. They will be sheltered. They will be saved from the wrath to come. This is the gospel. This is why Jesus came. And that's what we preach on Abounding Grace Radio. So thankful to our listeners. You take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. Do please find us on the web at www.agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. There's a form there to fill out and support us right there online with a mailing address or right through PayPal. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. We have apps for your smartphones, Android and iPhone. Find us on Facebook. We've gone to a lot of work to make Abounding Grace accessible and are so thankful to our listeners when you write to us and encourage us, and we receive reports of how the program is blessing you. Here is now the program, Exodus chapter 11, the last days according to Moses. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples were curious about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they asked him what that would be like and what the end of the age would be like and that day would be like. They wanted to understand this, and Jesus gave a detailed description and explanation that he himself would return and that he would come on the clouds of heaven in great judgment. He said that one of the great purposes of the second coming would be to make a distinction in the earth. One of the great purposes of the second coming would be to make a real separation in the earth, that the separation would finally and completely happen. He said this in Matthew chapter 24, that two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, a reference, actually, which is strikingly similar to Exodus 11. One will be taken and the other left. In the next words, he called upon his disciples to watch and be ready. And then he gave a parable. At midnight, a cry was heard. At midnight, a cry was heard. And then the great separation began. I raised this idea of separation and distinction and readiness because that's been the focus of the book of Exodus. And you'll notice that becomes the central focus and idea and concept the Lord is making Israel to understand just before he comes to Israel, to Egypt in judgment. We have come to the end here of this long period of time, 430 years there. We've come to the end. We're right before the end as they are about to witness their ultimate and final deliverance out of the land of Egypt. And Moses tells them, the Lord here tells Moses, it's at hand. We're ready. It's time. And we want, and I want you to be ready for this. I want you to understand this. Just like Abraham, that same blessing of the covenant of grace is coming out, that he tells his friends what is going to come to pass. He wants his friends to understand what is going to come to pass. And as we study this, it's a helpful passage for us to think about whether we are ready, whether we're watching for the second coming, when we will ultimately and finally be brought out of Egypt, ultimately and finally taken to the promised land. I want you to think about this morning with the question, are you ready? Are you watching? And as Jesus was constantly asking the question and saying to people of his day, you can discern the weather, but how is it that you cannot discern the sign of the times? Are we discerning the sign of the times? Are we looking at what's happening and understanding it's time? This was the constant teaching of the apostles. The day is at hand. Do you believe and live and know that day is at hand? This passage leads us to these questions this morning as we see how the Lord declared to Moses something we have not seen yet in our study of Exodus. He's coming personally now. He's coming personally now. We're all set up for this. Last week, we looked at the darkness. We looked at the plague of darkness, the ninth plague of darkness. Strategically, he unleashed darkness on them. And the day of the Lord, all over the scriptures, the day of the coming of the Lord is associated with thick darkness and clouds. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of gloom. This is all set in that framework of darkness and judgment right now. That's where we are in the whole course of this thing. And we left off in verses last time. You'll notice there in verses 28 and 29 of chapter 10 of a discussion that was remarkably fascinating of Pharaoh and Moses and the ability to look on faces. Really interesting. He gave a solemn warning to Moses last time, remember? You get away from me, Moses. Take heed that you never look on my face again. Now remember, he's in the midst of the darkness. The plague had not ended yet. Don't you ever look on my face again. If you do, you're dead. It was a remarkable warning because not only when we stand back and look at the foolishness of it, his entire kingdom has been toppled. He is in darkness at the moment. I believe, it's not explicitly said, but I believe Moses' face was shining. We see this whole story throughout when Moses would come down from God's presence, the face was shining. And Paul used that to contrast Moses' face of a glory that was fading and Christ, whose face in the light of the face of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the glory of that face, we have light. You don't ever look on my face again, Moses. He took the prerogative that only belonged to God. Because remember, God would later tell Moses, no one can see my face and live. And I've got to hide you, Moses, in the cleft of the rock. Well, here we are. His kingdom was doomed. It was a decisive moment in the plagues because Pharaoh essentially terminated all correspondence at this point. He ended it himself. He gave himself over. We see the path. Ephesians says that they have given themselves over in their blindness. You saw it right here. Not only had God been turning over, Pharaoh turned over. And now in what follows, we don't have a different scene. We have an extension of this scene. Chapter 11 is an extension of this last prophetic speech before Pharaoh once he self-reprobated, if you will, turned himself over. Moses walks away in verse 8 of our chapter. He had not walked away from the plague of darkness yet. You'll notice decisively, it is verse 8, Moses makes his final break in hot anger. He's done. Hot wrath. So what follows in chapter 11 is the final judgment proclamation. In other words, his doom is now sealed and it's now been revealed. These are the last days for Pharaoh. These are the last days for the kingdom of Egypt in its present form, in its form, before it would be judged and sunk into the Red Sea. What I love about chapter 11, what I had to make a decision about in the study of chapter 11, is did all of this discussion that now happens in chapter 11 happen in the hearing of Pharaoh? And I believe so. I believe for the first time he heard the Lord's voice. Not through Moses, but he heard it. He is in darkness. And notice the only break in verse 8 is when Moses walks out. As soon as Pharaoh says, I better never see you again, what's the next thing that happens in chapter 11? This is where chapter breaks aren't always so helpful. Then the Lord said, right then, yet one more blow. It's a different word for plague than has been commonly used. This is the great blow. This is the final great blow. One more deep blow I will bring upon Pharaoh. You can imagine him in the darkness hearing that. One more big blow I will give Pharaoh and Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. And he's not just going to let you go. He's driving you out. He is driving you out. Speak now, Moses, in the hearing of the people. And let every man ask from his neighbor and woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. Go get the jewelry from them. What's the Lord doing here? It's a wonderful passage. And the first thing that it greatly encourages us, the way that it encourages us, is that there is an end to all of this. God's not letting things go on forever. Now, that maybe that seems so evident, right? But we don't live like that. We don't think like that. And you really do see the intensity here in the hardness of heart. This has been 400 years of intense persecution, but it had run its course. What do I mean? We've tried to steadily emphasize in our study of Exodus that societies move in a cycle. Societies move in a cycle of iniquity. God had said that to Abraham, that there would be a cycle that runs its course. He said, the cycle or the iniquity of the Amorites must be complete before I bring them back into the land. And then he would execute judgment on them once that cycle was complete. Same is true here. God had said to Abraham, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Canaan's has not filled up its cup yet in sin. Well, now Egypt has. I had to quote something that moved me as I was studying and reflecting on a psalm. And the comment was by Calvin in Psalm 128. And I want you to listen to what he said in his day. 1545, roughly, probably written. It is not wonderful to find in the present day the state of the world so troubled and confused as it actually is. Justice is put to flight in cities. The husband and wife mutually accusing each other. Fathers and mothers complaining of their children. In short, all bewailing their own condition. For how few are to be found in their life, in their vocation, who turn to God, and who, being rather inflated with arrogance, do not wickedly exalt themselves. God then justly renders this sad reward to ungrateful men when he is defrauded of his honor. When was that written? 15 what? Nothing's new. We're all panicked right now. Nothing's new. But society's run a course. Every society has. Rome ran its course. It reached its full cup of iniquity, measure of iniquity, and it was judged. All nations run a course. That's why no nation has ever remained on top since the history of the world. Because there's one kingdom that can't be toppled. One. Jesus spoke a lot about this. Tyre and Sidon, you've run your course. Woe to you. The days are evil, New Testament writers said. And Jesus, in the midst of all this, said, I need you to discern the times. Look at the signs of the times. Now, why do I raise this? The Lord just told Israel, it's time. Last plague has come. Look at how things are going. Look at how it is. The land is wrecked. I've judged it. Listen, we think of judgment as coming in the future. Judgment's happening now. Judgments happen now. That's Romans 1. Things are in shambles. Look at the state of darkness over the land of Egypt. They're in darkness. Look how great that darkness is. Judgment is at hand. And they've crushed you. They've crushed you and your children. Can't you see? You're crushed. So what is the Lord's message right before the end? Moses, here's what I really was so encouraged by Exodus 11. You tell them it's time to come out and go get their jewelry. Why would God say that? Well, it may seem somewhat strange to us, but it's the thing that God promised to Abraham. After they're afflicted 400 years, I'm judging that nation, and they're going to come out with great possessions. It's time. Go get the possessions. That is the most exciting generation to live, by the way. What is the most exciting generation to live? The ones right before the end. Look what they get to see. Be prepared. Get up. Everything I promised to Abraham in the covenant of grace, it's now. It's now. Tell him right now. He's saying this in the hearing of Pharaoh. He's plundering your kingdom, Pharaoh. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the 10th plague, in the next chapter, in the chapter of the Passover, God tells them to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And do you know how he told them to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread? With a belt on their waist, with sandals on their feet, and with staff in their hand. And you eat it in haste. Who wants to eat a meal like that? We sit down and we're comfortable. You have your hand, your staff out. You have your belt on. You have your sandals on. We're going right now. What an exciting moment in Israel's history. You're being ushered out of Egypt forever. You'll never see them again. Wake up. You're leaving. Time. You're leaving. To which I say, I wonder how many of us are really ready. Are you ready to go?
Could you leave today? Could you walk away from everything today? Could you walk away from your homes and your things and your stuff? Your friends. If this were the day, I had someone say, just to be open the other day, Pastor, you're preaching sermons that are really convicting. They're moving. The people afterwards seem to say, good sermon today, good sermon today, good sermon. This person said, but I wonder, is it affecting change? Are they embracing? Some seem to have no problem missing worship. That for me is kind of the gauge. I'm never happy with my own readiness, okay? I'm never happy with my own preparedness. But I do have the question, are we hearing? Why is God bringing them out? Well, we've been saying it the whole time. I'm bringing them out. The English word we usually translate serve, but it means to worship. I'm bringing them out to worship me. You're being brought out of Egypt to worship. There's something wrong if there's no priority in that. We might still love Egyptian life too much. The Lord just said, I have everything for you. I'm going to plunder. I'm taking everything from them and giving it to you anyway. The new heavens and the new earth, everything's yours in Christ. But it's time to get up and be ready, he says. It's time. Can't you see what I'm doing to the world? Can't you see I'm plundering the nations? Can't you see the judgments ripe and due? Can't you see it's long overdue? Here's something to consider. They had been there 400 years, and they were hated. They stunk before the Egyptians. Remember chapter 1? The Egyptians said, they said, you made us to stink. And look at the strange reversal right before the end. They have great favor now in the land of Egypt, and Moses is the man. Yeah. I have a theory that actually what will just precede the final judgment is great respect and fear that will come again for God's people. When society drinks the full cup of the measure of its sorrows, and they've tried every other pathway other than Jesus Christ, and they've hit marriage and tried out all of that, and society and her children, like Calvin said, are an absolute misery. When everything is in shambles, the land is a mess, when lives are destroyed, when the darkness is that great, what happens? One last moment of real grace is shown. And he gives grace to his people, notice that, in the sight of the Egyptians. And the name of Jesus is again honored greatly. What we have in verse 4 is the final outcome for Egypt and Pharaoh, the coming judgment that is announced. If you look at verse 4, so Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle, they shall die. Moses speaks, but did you notice the difference there in the way that Moses spoke for the first time? God speaks in the first person. I could stand up today and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Can you imagine me saying today, at midnight, I'm coming and I'm striking down all the firstborn. And that's the Lord's voice. For the first time we have through Moses, God speaking in the first person this way. I'm going out. I'm coming personally, Moses. Pharaoh, I'm coming personally to you, my friend. And at midnight, a cry will be heard.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.